Mayor, in order for Sam to participate by telephone conference, I'm gonna have to read some items at the beginning.
Okay.
Whenever we're on, after the items have been read.
I've gotta get him on the phone still.
Okay.
Hello, Sam? Hi, hold on, I'm gonna connect you to the system. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi, okay.
Okay, council is reconvening. The city attorney had a statement to read.
Should we read the items first, and then I will...
Okay.
I'll go through the statement, please.
Would you please read...
We do roll call first?
Would you, Carla, could you please read 15, 41, 42, 43, and 44 together?
Okay, do you want me to do a roll call before?
Oh, yes, please go do the roll call.
Adams.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman. Potter.
Here. Now, please read those four items.
1541, adopt budget adjustment recommendations and the minor supplemental budget for the fiscal year 2008-09 fall budget adjustment process and make budget adjustments in various funds. 1542, adopt the fiscal year 2008-09 fall major supplemental budget in the amount of $511,513 and make budget adjustments in two funds. 1543, adopt a fiscal year 2008-09 major supplemental budget for the grants fund. 1544, adopt a fiscal year 2008-09 minor supplemental budget to make grant-related budget amendments required by the implementation of the Enterprise Business Solution.
Thank you. Casey?
So I'll jump in really quickly with this. Pursuant to Portland City Code Section 3.02.025, Commissioner Adams is participating by telephone because the four supplemental budget ordinances numbered 1541 through 1544 are emergency ordinances, and the code requires a unanimous vote of at least four council members for the ordinances to be adopted. Section 2 of the ordinances state that an emergency exists because amendments to appropriations and requirements must be in place when the new enterprise business system goes live, and that amendments to appropriations, resources, and requirements must be implemented without delay. Without Commissioner Adams' participation by telephone, there's not a sufficient number of council members present to adopt these ordinances as presented. The auditor contacted the offices of Commissioner Adams and Commissioner Saltzman to inform them that they could participate in this hearing by telephone. Commissioner Saltzman is unable to do so. Commissioner Adams will be participating by telephone. The mayor, if you could please now request whether any of the council members who are physically present object to having Commissioner Adams participate by telephone.
Do any council members physically present object to having Commissioner Adams participate by telephone?
No.
Hearing none, please proceed.
That's to me.
Casey Short.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Given the lateness of the hour, I will abbreviate my presentation on what's in the fall bump, as it's affectionately known. Of course, if anyone has any questions or would like me to elaborate, I would be happy to do so. You've had the four items read to you that we will be dealing with today. I will speak first just to the fall bump and minor supplemental budget. The focus here is on the general fund. The issues there are... three principal things that I want to call to your attention. One deals with the matter of additional funds that will be available in the general fund this fiscal year, both from additional beginning balance and other resources. I have written you correspondence outlining what all of these are. The bottom line is that there will be an extra $9.6 million that we are recommending stay in the general fund contingency as a reserve against potential revenue shortfalls this year, which we do expect, and if that money isn't needed or not all of it is needed, what remains will be available for your budget process for fiscal year 2009-10. The second point, it deals with the general fund discretionary contingency, which began the year with a budget of $1.4 million. There were very few requests for contingency in this bump because council members aware of the constrained financial situation we find ourselves in as a city, I understand, didn't approve many bureau requests, so there weren't many. Financial planning recommends five requests that were in the request for contingency, totaling about $534,000. This will leave the contingency at about $866,000 to last for the rest of the year. The second piece of the contingency is the rainy day reserve that started the year budgeted at $4.85 million. This bump action today, we recommend 2.56 of that be moved from contingency to different places. The first is $1,750,000 to go to the facilities fund to support a land purchase for the regional training center, regional public safety training center. There is an item, $510,000 for police overtime that the council directed come out of this reserve back in July. So this is implementing that. And there was a $300,000 item identified in the rainy day reserve for a homeless self-sufficiency program, which was to be released pending council approval, of course, following the approval of the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, and Commissioner Fish's office has forwarded that. That leaves about $2.3 million in the rainy day reserve, most of which is earmarked for other things. The last item I just want to touch on today is that this bump also it does two things that I'm going to touch on. One is there are additional funds moving between the general fund and the technology services fund to pay for both the implementation of the Enterprise Business Solution project and the ongoing costs of that in the current fiscal year. There is no change in the budget for this. This is not increasing the budget for the program. It's just putting the money in the right places. The other thing is that, as I believe you all know, this bump effects a change in the management of the city parking garages from the Office of Management and Finance to Portland Department of Transportation. There's a lot more detailed stuff which I'll address if you'd like to, but for now I'll entertain questions.
Questions from the commissioners. Thank you, Casey. Is there anybody, was there a sign-up sheet on this? I don't see anybody.
I did not have
in
a sign-up sheet.
Do you want me to address the other three items, or do you want to discuss the bump? Okay, the next item, I'll try to be even briefer, is the major supplemental budget. There are two funds in the major supplemental, which generally requires the extra step of going through the hearing with the Multnomah County Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. If a fund increases appropriations by more than 10%, there were two funds that hit that criteria this year, the Environmental Remediation Fund and the Parks Trust Fund. Both of these changes were technical in nature. We have had our hearing in front of the TSCC. That happened day before yesterday. They didn't have any additional questions, and we recommend those changes. The next item is a separate major supplemental budget that has a different effective date. That is for the grants fund. As you know, the city receives a good bit of money every year in grants, primarily from the federal government, also from the state government, some from other local and regional entities. With the new Enterprise Business Solution project, which is due to go live in 2 weeks from today, the way we manage these is changing, and instead of the funds moving from the grants fund where they're taken in to the relevant funds that spend the money or are reimbursed for expenditures they've made, the new system will have all of those expenditures going out from the grants fund. So this represented a $47 million change in where the money is budgeted in the grants fund, so we needed a major supplemental budget. TSCC had their hearing on that as well day before yesterday and again approved it. This does not change the total amount of money. This just changes how it's budgeted. And the other item is a companion minor supplemental budget, because none of the funds changed appropriation by more than 10%, for all those funds that had been receiving grant money from the grants fund. They will now not be receiving that money, but they won't be spending the money out of their funds either. No net change, just a change in the way that we manage that money. These are separate from the regular actions because they need to be in effect on go-live day, November 26th, rather than before or after. And the rest of the bump and the first major supplemental go into effect immediately upon passage, assuming that there's a unanimity on council. That's it for my presentation.
So getting back, is there any testimony on this?
No one signed up. I didn't have a sign-up sheet, rather.
I don't see anybody here. Council discussion?
I want to point out one item that I am concerned about, and that is the issue of the transfer of the $1.75 million from the Rainy Day Fund to the Facility Services Fund for the purchase of the land that would have the police bureau training facility constructed on.
That was dramatic.
Yeah. Oh, really? For what reason?
Are you there?
I'm here, sir.
I actually, when we developed the budget last year, worked on this portion of the budget, so I'm very familiar with it. And that is the $250,000 we put in the budget to for the purpose of buying an option on property if a deal was negotiated or in lieu of a deal being negotiated, at least developing an option to look at purchasing the land. And so I'm going to give you a little background on that. I met with Chief Sizer in May and followed that up with a meeting with her command staff and the principals from the police bureau, including Robert King, in June on this project. And out of that meeting, or during that meeting, I raised a number of concerns with the police bureau. They predicate that this project could cost up to, after development, $125 million. When all the facilities are built and the long-term plan is, as in a driving facility and a shooting range and other things that they'd like to have in a training facility. And recognizing that to get even to the $50 million stage, which is as I understood it, the more of the first round of things that would have to be constructed to make it be usable, they needed to have partners from other law enforcement and even possibly fire agencies that would join in the cost of the development of this project. I asked them at that meeting in June who they had commitments from. And they named a number of sheriffs and police chiefs who were supportive of this, but understanding as I do that that might be more aspirational than a commitment by the governing bodies, I asked, you know, specifically, did the Beaverton City Council make a commitment, or did the Washington County Board of Commissioners make a commitment? Did the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners make a commitment, and so on? And they had no such written commitments. So what I told them at that time was that for me to be engaged in a conversation just as an individual council member to support such a project, and given it had such a tremendous potential impact on the general fund of the city, which at that point doesn't just affect the police bureau, but also the fire bureau and the parks bureau, and any kind of activity that we are involved with as a city where you spend general funds, I needed to be satisfied that we had not just promises of partnerships, but written commitments of partnerships. And I spent some time specifically going through what that meant. When we crafted the budget, we set aside the $250,000 and the $1.75 million back into the rainy day fund so that in the event that this day came, when there was some coming together with the property owner and the city, we first, as a council, could hear the deal. What is it that we are walking into before we agree as a council to anything? I and my fellow commissioners have had no such briefing by the police bureau or anybody else who has negotiated a deal. And I can only presume that given that we're releasing the $1.75 million, they have not gone out and developed these committed partnerships because part of that would be obviously them agreeing to a portion of the purchase price according to whatever percentage we ascribe to each of those partners as their financial share of this burden. So this, from my perspective, is putting the cart before the horse. I mean, I'm still not saying I won't support the project, but I'm still very clear in my mind that before this council should make a commitment such as this, we should understand the details, not the least of which is the land, as I understand it, is not zoned for the purpose for which the city wants to use it. In fact, is zoned farmland. And I know there are ways to address that. They haven't been explained to me, and I think as a member of the council, I deserve to have that explained to me before I vote on something like this. And the last thing I would say is that I think that each of us have to agree that this is a complicated subject, that there are some issues here that need to be addressed. I've given some suggestions to the police bureau in the past and ways to look at other options for a police training facility, for instance, partnering with parks at the Portland racetrack to see what can be done to take advantage of an existing driving service that would allow for high-speed training by police officers. I've not got any feedback from that either. So at a minimum, we're going to have a new police commissioner take over January 1st. And I think that what I need to have happen for this to get my support is to have those issues addressed and addressed in a way that makes me comfortable to move forward. I mean, I don't want to have us have a disagreement about this publicly, and I am not pleased even to say what I am about this, but I would hope that at least out of respect for the person that's going to have to carry this ball forward if this decision is made, that person be involved in these discussions and understanding the implications of what this action means today to the city, not just for the police bureau, but the entire areas of responsibility that we have with respect to our general funds. So I will be moving to remove this portion from the bump after we have our discussion.
After the budget was passed, the budget note provided myself, the police bureau, and OMF the responsibility of beginning the negotiations for the purchase of the property. So we initiated that discussion with the owners of the property and have had several proposals back and forth. We are still negotiating with them, and that the purpose or function of the action today was a technical adjustment to place that money out of the rainy day reserve and put it into
the facility services.
Facility services. It does not commit anybody to any decision to decide whether to approve or disapprove this.
And I understand that.
And so the thing for me is that there, aside from all of these technical issues or concerns, there is a huge need for training of police officers. That's not really being met by the city of Portland and most of the regional police agencies. When I talked to the chief, talked to the sheriffs, I've talked to the four county commissioners and two of the mayors, and talked to them about it, and they all agree that this is a serious issue, that they wanted to work with us on a solution. So there were really three steps to this. One was to acquire the property. Second was to establish a regional governance model, much like the one that we are, that is, I don't know if it's approved or in the draft form for the communications, the 911 communications system. That
there is an grant existing agreement.
But it's a regional governance for the 911 system.
Right.
So the three parts were, one, acquire the property, two, establish a regional governance model that would include the partners in the four or five county, if we were to include Clark County and Washington, as to how the phase two, which would be the construction, the capital needs for the construction, and phase three, the operation and maintenance of the facility. We are approaching a conclusion on the purchase of the property. We have hired a consultant to work on the regional governance model, and we are developing hard numbers in terms of, we have a business plan that was written last spring. I can't remember the exact date, but last spring, and in which I think everybody saw the pictures of the proposed training facility and what it would have in it. And at that time, the cost was estimated to be about $100 million. Since then, it's gone up to about $120. And that when my discussions with the four county chairs, they were all interested in participating. Since I had no hard numbers either for the purchase or the capital construction, it was hard to talk about what would be their exact share. But they were all willing to participate to whatever degree that they could in order to make this regional training facility happen. As a and every single police agency in this area is in the same bind that the Portland Police Bureau is. And that is that the training is at a crisis stage, is that we don't have adequate training for firearms training, we don't have adequate training for emergency vehicle operations. And it's not just that, gosh, it would be nice to be able to have those things. Those are absolutely essential elements of the in-service training that is required to keep the proficiency up of our Portland police officers, and in this case, the region's police officers. This is the act today is not to obligate the city in any way. It's to move it from one funding source to another. And then we complete the purchase agreement, but that purchase agreement has to be approved by the city council at that time, not today. So what I'm asking, Commissioner, for you folks, is to allow us to continue this process. We will be bringing the issue before the full council with a full presentation with the people and the counties who are and cities who are interested in participating and bringing this to a conclusion. And at that time, the questions, I think, will be much better positioned to answer because we'll have more hard and concrete numbers to give to you. So I'm asking you today to allow this process to go through and then complete the negotiations, get the regional governance model in place. But after we negotiate a price, then it comes back to the council for approval.
Well, Mayor Potter, I don't want you to think that I'm at all trying to put up roadblocks. So I want to be more specific about the meeting I had that you alluded to back in the spring with the police bureau. They gave me a presentation that was exactly like what you just presented to me, and what I said to them then is, and this was 5 months ago, what I said to them then in very clear language is that you need to bring before the council before you purchase this property not just aspirations of our governing partners, but rather commitments. And unfortunately, where I find myself today, 5 months later, is at the same place, repeating what I said to the police bureau in my office then, which is that's putting the cart before the horse to ask this council to put up the money for a project that could cost up to $120 million without signed commitments leaves me a little chilled. I understand that Ted Wheeler may aspirationally like this idea and that Shane Bemis may aspirationally like this idea and so on, but as you know, Mayor Potter, having been here 4 years, when the budget realities confront us, we oftentimes find that our aspirations the reality of what we can do falls short of the aspirations that we have set out for ourselves. So I don't really have a quarrel with anything that you're saying other than that I constructed this portion of the budget, and I constructed it for the very purpose of avoiding happening what is happening here today, and that was to send a clear message that beyond just having a meeting in my office, I expected the police bureau to come in with the issues that I had raised addressed, and not because I had raised them, but because I think anybody in the positions that we are should require those conditions to be met before we sign on the bottom line to this future liability that is going to run into the tens of millions of dollars, at least at a time, by the way, that the police bureau needs, as you pointed out in the past, a new place for the traffic division. You know, probably today with the rain we have, they have their basement filled up with sewer water and or rainwater. And yet we're not addressing that. So for me, we have to do this in a more deliberate fashion than what this is being done here tonight.
Can I pose a question to Casey? Because I'm trying to just make sure I understand a couple of things. Because I've heard Commissioner Leonard say he's not prejudging any proposal that may be brought forward. So in that, to that extent, whatever we do here, from his point of view, is agnostic as to the merits, but it's a question of whether we do this transfer or not. Casey, if we deferred on this transfer, could the transfer occur at some future date, coterminous with council action, on a proposal to either affirm or reject a contract to purchase the land?
Yes.
So there's no prejudice if we defer on it?
If I understand your reference to no prejudice,
the transfer can occur at some future time.
Yes.
We wrote it at the time. It was with the consultation of our financial folks that at any time the police bureau came with a proposal that the council thought was a rational, reasonable proposal, we could release all funds to purchase the property and move ahead.
And so, in addition, I just want to understand, were we to agree to this transfer, the funds would or would not be encumbered pending a future council authorization?
They would not be legally encumbered. They would not be spent by the Office of Management and Finance because the purpose for the money would not be fulfilled until there's an agreement to purchase the property, and that's what the money's for.
So Mr. Mayor, what I'm hearing is a technical argument where it seems that, in my opinion, there's a little bit of form over substance, but I was not part of the prior budget discussion. And as I have expressed to you, I have an open mind as to this proposal for the facility, for the training facility, and I have not been briefed on any of the details of the current negotiations or any proposal, nor do I have current information about what other jurisdictions may or may not do. And so would the mayor entertain, from someone who's one step removed from this and who is looking at his watch at 7:15 and would love to get home to tuck in a four-year-old, a friendly amendment of the council simply to defer on that one issue with the understanding that we are not, as a council, prejudging the merits of the underlying issue, but we are simply keeping the funds in this one account pending a full presentation on the merits of a proposal. And I want to be clear in suggesting this. I want to underscore that I am reaffirming that I come at this with an open mind and intend to listen carefully to any future presentation and act accordingly.
The thing that that to me is important to recognize that the action taken to get today, if it were to occur, would not obligate the city in any manner, period. So it's a technical adjustment. It's not one that's obligating the funds of the city. I'm not sure why that can't go through And then we are going to have a hearing when there is a proposal to put on the table. It is, we are still negotiating, so I don't have anything to tell you today.
But Mayor Potter, I have to ask you then, why are you asking that we take this action today, particularly in light of the fact that the point at which you're ready to have that hearing and bring the details, first briefing us, hopefully in advance, to the details and have these agreements with these other agencies, we can transfer the money at that time. If it doesn't make any difference, I don't understand why you're even bringing this forward.
The purpose was to position that and understand that that was the obligation for that money and place it in that fund so that when we negotiate a settlement, then we bring both of those things forward to the full council. That's the purpose.
And so I can tell you that having drafted that provision of the budget, that was exactly why we drafted it that way, so that money was not obligated until we had a clear understanding of what the relationships were going to be between us and the other governing partners who wanted to be a part of this, that we would see an actual document with resolutions passed, with a relationship, as you pointed out, that we have at Bureau of Emergency Communications with Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, and the other entities, Multnomah County, that we have like that in place. So then we could look at that, review it, and go, okay, this is a fair apportionment of each jurisdiction's financial obligation. I'm comfortable with going forward.
Well, in the three stages, we have to first have the property in order.
It needs to be purchased
that by
all the partners together. I told that to the police bureau 5 months ago.
You said is that would they then obligate $500,000, and we are in the process of getting those obligations. That's what you stated.
I'm sorry.
Is that we thought it was going to be about $2 million, and that you said then in that case, and I'd like to see them put some money in, and you said $500,000 from those.
I did not say $500,000.
Well, it's on the record, so anyway.
Well, you must have a hidden recorder in my office if it's on the record. That's right.
Commissioner,
I'm going to go back to, Commissioner Adams.
I just want to hear Commissioner Adams' thoughts.
Commissioner Adams?
I would prefer that it stay in the rainy day fund, just given the general financial outlook that we're looking at, and it's not clear how bad it's going to get. If it's no difference to the project, it still remains totally eligible for those resources, but leaving it in there now I think is consistent with the conservative approach that we've taken on the rest of this bump request, and it leaves open, as both Commissioner Fish and Leonard have mentioned, leaves open a package coming back and us approving it.
Well, you know, the package, Commissioner Adams and Commissioner Leonard, was for the purchase of the property. That's what that money in there is for. And that the agreement, and I'm sure it's easy to pull up the records of the council, was for the purchase of the property, and that the other parties would then put in their share of $500,000. That was the original agreement.
If I might, just to clarify that point, Mr. Mayor, there are two budget notes dealing with this in the adopted budget. One is under the rainy day reserve, which says $1,750,000 for the regional public safety training facility. There is $250,000 in the FY08-09 budget for this facility, and this additional amount will be made available for purchase of property that is suitable for development of the facility. The second note is under the heading Regional Training Center, and it says land acquisition for the Public Safety Regional Training Center is based on the expectation that regional partners will contribute $500,000 to the project before June 30, 2010. That's
and the project being the land acquisition.
So
land acquisition is based on the expectation that the regional partners will contribute before June 30, 2010. Yes.
That was my understanding.
So for me, again, as a worthy project of consideration, what I'm looking for in addition to the partners is what are the benefits for the cost of a potential $120 million. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done in designing it, but I think there's been a persuasive case made in terms of the need for more accessible year-round training, and obviously benefits come with that, but I need to see it fleshed out a little more. Given the $120 potential cost.
Mr. Mayor, if I could also just reiterate, we have four ordinances dealing with the fall bump. In some ways, I think it's a miracle we're at this point, given the financial crisis we face and the leadership that you've given us through this bump process, working with OMF. And my understanding is that we have complete unanimity on the council as to every matter in here, which is astonishing. With the caveat that, based on the representation that keeping the money in the existing fund, the 1.75, does not impact in any way a future council consideration as to whether to approve a purchase and sale agreement, I would still declare that that 99.9% of the hard work here has been accomplished, and I compliment you. And just in deference to the hour, I would again propose that we simply strip this of this one item, make the record as clear that all the commissioners are not reaching the substance of the issue, but simply asking that the money stay in the fund, and that we are looking forward to a presentation on a possible acquisition and a strategy. And I want to make very clear that in no way prejudges for this commissioner how I will vote on the merits of this issue. But I do think it allows us to bring closure on what I think has been an exemplary job on the fall bump.
What's the procedure for pulling the transfer of the $2 million?
A motion to amend what's in the fall bump, and a second, and a vote on that amendment, and then a vote on the amended budget. There's a little tweak that I'll talk to later if you do that, but it deals with the other ordinances and just making sure they're consistent. That's all.
Do I hear a motion?
I move to amend on page in Exhibit 2 on page 20, Fund 704, the Facility Services Operating Fund, deleting the fund transfer of $1.75 million.
Second.
Is that right?
We'd also need to amend the transfer out of the general fund. I think if you just told us that you wanted to not take the money out of the general fund, leave it there in the rainy day reserve, we'll take care of making sure that it doesn't go to facilities.
How do I incorporate that into my motion?
I think also include that you delete the transfer of the $1,750,000 from the general fund to the facilities fund.
So my motion is that.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Again, Mayor, I want to thank you for your leadership on the fall bump and reiterate that in agreeing to this amendment, I am clearly separating out the merits of the issue, which is not before us, with what appears to be a ministerial issue of no consequence to our consideration of the merits. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Now, what's the next step?
Is to vote on adopting the ordinance as amended.
1541. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
1542 is the next item, the major supplemental budget that I discussed. If there are no questions, I think you can go ahead and move to a vote on that.
But you said there was some tweaking that had to be done.
That's on the next one. It's not this one.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me, though.
It's late.
Roll the vote.
No tweak on this.
1542. Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. 1543.
If I might, Mr. Mayor, members of council, we need to make sure that both ordinances have the same figures in them, except for the changes that are being made in the ones that have a later effective date. We're loading them into the system in preparation for getting ready for the go-live of the new system. And I just would like it to be made clear by, I think, direction from the council would be adequate rather than adding some language, that any changes you made to the ordinance that we brought to you will be incorporated as necessary into the subsequent ordinances so they're consistent.
Casey,
yes, sir.
Let me take a crack at that. I move that we conform Ordinance 1543 with the changes that we've made in Ordinance 1541.
It would be, I'm sorry, it would be 1544, not 1543.
So we're now on 43.
Yes.
Okay. We're not going to tweak this, Mayor.
So this isn't being tweaked.
This one is fine.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
And if I just could clarify, there is a change in the general fund from what we're doing in based on the action you took on 1541. And the general fund is also in 1544, so we need to make sure that everything's the same going forward there.
So, Casey, my motion is that we conform Ordinance 1544 with the changes we've made in Ordinance 1541.
That sounds perfect.
Casey, does that require any specific language changes to the ordinance, or is it more, because I'm not seeing particular exhibits to this that
I don't
OAM.
Think,
and yeah. There it is, Exhibit 1A. So we would do the same as we did with the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mine is a housekeeping motion.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. And now do we vote on the motion? Ordinance? Or is that it?
Oh, yeah, you do need to vote on the ordinance that was on the motion. Thank
okay.
you.
Call a vote.
Adams? Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Adjourned until next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Casey. Someone will get me those corrections. Casey, somebody will get me those corrections.
Tomorrow.
Okay. What? You're not working tonight? Go ahead. Go ahead.